Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John. And it's a real pleasure for me to welcome our guest today, Mr. Michael Anderson, and he is co-founder of Wondrous Dental Marketing Agency and also of Your Virtual Consult. And I'm really anxious to visit with Mike about Your Virtual Consult. I think, Michael, as we just spoke briefly a minute ago, I think that's an awesome concept that you have going there. And with the audience, I share with them that I like to bring things to the podcast that are going to have a positive influence and impact upon their practice and something that they don't have to spend a lot of time installing and working and get going with it. It's something that's not difficult for them to learn. The podcast is rich in helping people go into niching up their practice and really refining it to a vision of a dream that they have in their mind for how they really want to practice dentistry and have a positive effect upon the quality of patients' lives. So, Michael, welcome to this episode.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on today. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and we visited with your wife, Laura, back in early December and talked with her about Wondrous. And I'd like for you to, this is a couple of months later, and share with me, give a little recap and anything that might be new with the Wondrous Agency. I know that dental marketing is just constantly evolving as the digital world is. And so I know that your agency doesn't stand still. And so, Michael, share with me. First of all, share with the audience what you want them to know about you and who you are.
Well, yeah, I think your introduction is perfect. I'm Laura's husband. That's usually enough of an introduction for me. But just briefly, I'll share that I've been, working in dental marketing specifically for, I think over 9 years now. And before that, I've really spent my entire career in healthcare. I came out of college, started at, DePue Orthopedics, doing knee, hip, and trauma cases. So, got kind of exposure to the operating room there, and then meandered my way through higher ed all the way into the job I had before Wondrous, which was at a Fortune 500 health insurance company. Got a chance to really work on startups, and that's where I really developed a passion for both understanding how to grow businesses and marketing, understanding, how to actually get users and clients and early adopters to fast-growing startups. So, it's just been a really, really fun ride, and dentistry has just been a wonderful home for Laura and I. We love our dental community, and it's been really, really enjoyable to see each chapter unfold.
I know that you have a broad community of dentists, dental practices that you work with. Let me ask you this question about marketing dentistry. You know, everybody wants to find the magic trick, the one magic thing that is going to make a significant difference in the new patient flow into the practice. Share with me, Michael, just what you would see as the magic trick. I know this is kind of a trick question, but share with me.
Man, moments like this, it's regrettable that I'm not a coffee drinker. I wish I'd brewed a pot. I think Laura and I have really built our business on really this one magic trick. And I'll preface it by saying, I think I'm probably more old school than not. I think a lot of times people try to chase what's next. In fact, we're recording this episode right as the Apple Vision Pro is coming out, right? And spatial computing is now the next thing. And while it's so exciting to get on the next bandwagon, oftentimes what I've found separates people from success and failure is something that's as old as time. And for me, it comes down to this one thing. If you look at marketing today for dentists, still, 90% of our dentists are using stock images when it comes to their marketing. If you go on their website, if you look at their social media, if you look at the direct mailers they send out, if you look at how they present themselves in the world, all too often they default back to a stock image. And it's almost always the same one. Grandma and grandpa sitting in a field like a Cialis commercial in the bathtub. Their dentures are fitting so perfectly, right? And what we do is we help our dentists move away from stock images and embrace authenticity. Now, whether that's with an iPhone photo or whether that's a professional photo shoot or something in between, maybe your cousin has a nice camera and wants to start to you know, build a portfolio. That one thing has made the biggest difference for all of our practices, right? You could have the most advanced marketing campaign, say, I'm going to do this crazy thing with Facebook ads and pixels and retargeting. And if what you have to say doesn't capture people, it doesn't matter. And conversely, you could do the simplest thing in the world. You could put up a billboard next to the highway, but if it's got a photo and a message that people connect to, that old school approach can be all the difference. So my one tip, my magic trick, ditch stock images and embrace authentic photo and video.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Michael, because that's one thing when I'm looking at landing pages, websites, anything like that, that is put out there to market a business. If I see stock images, boop, I'm gone.
Right.
I look at that as telling me, okay, there's not much creativity behind this business and or the marketing agency that they're working with. And without creativity, I'm gone. I want people that are really on the edge, the leading edge of what's going on. And stock images give me the opposite sign. That is, you know, we try to make things so complex at times, don't we, Michael?
We do.
And you can come back to some of the old basics, and those old basic fundamentals, they're hard to beat.
I think they underpin everything else. The way I look at it is oftentimes the new things are channels. They're new ways to reach people. You know, I think about even 5 years ago, I was getting asked questions on podcasts about smart speakers. You know, hey, Google Home is in everybody's house now. And is that going to kill search engines? You know, are we all going to be talking to speakers? And it really, for me, those are channels. And what good marketing is all about is message and connection, right? If you have stock images, you're not connecting with the practice. And I always like to think about it this way. Let's talk about something more relatable. Food, restaurants, right? If I'm looking for a place to go out to dinner and I see a restaurant with stock images, I'm not connecting. I'm not seeing myself there. But if I, you know, whether it's Instagram or a website, I go somewhere and say, wow, this place is beautiful. The staff looks like they're pretty put together. They look like they probably got a sommelier there. That's exciting. And the food looks amazing. That choice is easy for me. We eat with our eyes. That's a great expression. Well, eating with your eyes doesn't just apply to food. It applies to life. And we consume the products we want because we think they look good to us. And I think that's the biggest reason to never use a stock image again.
Yeah. The one thing that I looked at when I was marketing, when I was practicing, was I always looked at emotion first. And what was the emotional component that most of my patients were looking for? And I tried to scale it down to just a couple of things. And like you said, if people can see themselves in that photo, sitting in that corner booth with one or two roses in the middle of the table, and you're holding your hands, you know, with your sweetheart there, they're there. They're ready to go. And that was my message in my marketing, and I know that that's what you folks relate with, is the emotion. Talk a little bit about that, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, dentistry is an emotional industry, right? We maybe forget that sometimes. Hey, this is routine. It's like getting your car oil changed, maybe, right? And I think for so many people, why they're drawn to dentistry, both clinically and as a patient, is to change their life, right? There's a lack of confidence. There's pain. There's, you know, something that is keeping you from living the life that you want. And I think all of our favorite moments in dentistry is when we see emotion, when someone gets that smile transformation and they get that first glimpse, you know, even if it's the temp, and you say, wow, you know, what an opportunity to help someone live a better life. And so for me, you know, what you're hitting at here is, okay, I hope everybody listening to this is buying in, saying, yes, okay, I'm getting rid of my stock images. And then it's like, well, now what? What am I supposed to do? And my next biggest encouragement, if we're going to have magic trick number two, it's to focus on something we like to call social proof, right? To stick with the dating analogy, we're recording this around Valentine's Day. So we're all thinking about going on a date, I guess. I imagine, you know, going on a date and you're sitting across from your potential partner here and you start trying to tell them what a good guy you are. I call it good guy syndrome. Hey, I'm really nice. I'm really smart. I'm really, really, you know, fun to be around. I don't know about you, but that just starts to, you know, it doesn't ring true. You start to lean back in your chair a little bit and say, why are you telling me that? And yeah. If that's what you're doing in your business, hey, I'm the best dentist. You can trust me. I mean, think about that. The minute you say you can trust me, you're like, well, it didn't even occur to me that I shouldn't trust you. But now I'm wondering why you said that. But if somebody else walks by your table as you're on that date and they say, hey, oh my gosh, Michael, hey, good to see you. Oh my gosh. You know what? Michael's a great guy. You guys are going to hit it off. I just love Michael. It's so different when it comes from a different person. And so to bring it back to dentistry, to bring it back to emotion and trust, social proof means that we need to strive to capture videos of patients talking about their treatment emotionally and sharing the impact. And if we can't get videos, then at least having reviews, at least having testimonials that are written down. So social proof is the most powerful form of authentic content that we can create.
Yeah. You've used the word authenticity a number of times. Share with us what that looks like with your marketing for a dental office. And you know, I shared earlier that my emphasis with this podcast is to help dentists overcome that apprehension and fear and concern about niching up. You know, if I niche up, am I going to lose some of my patients and whatever? But okay, we're niching up. What would you tell that doctor in relation to authenticity? How does that work for him or her?
You know, I mean, again, you're talking to a marketing agency that only works with dentists, right? So we know a thing or two about niching up, and I think it's fantastic. I think it's the fabric of great business. You know, for me, authenticity is hard to fake, and it's something that requires a deep foundation of people, process, product, all those core things we need in our business. You need to have the right people. You need to have the right processes. You need to have a product that stands on its own. And I think the more specific you can be in any business, whether it's dentistry or marketing or everything in between, it helps you have that confidence to speak to someone and say, listen, you know, I'm not for everyone. I'm not telling you that I can do everything here, but I can do this one thing really well. You know, again, I'll stick with restaurants. If you walk in the door of a restaurant, and we've all been to a restaurant like this, by the way, right? They say, hey, let me show you our menu. And it's got pizza and you know, great Italian pasta. And then it's got hamburgers. And then it's got Thai food. Are you okay? I'm getting a little curious now. And then it's got Chinese and it's got sushi. It's got everything for everybody. Part of me thinks, I'm like, are you really good at all of this? Is this the place to get sushi? I don't know. I don't think so. And so I think there's power in being specific, whether that's, you know, being a pediatric specialist or an endodontist or a scratch startup fee-for-service holistic practice. Yes, we have one of those. And knowing yourself empowers you to be authentic. And I think that's the thing I would encourage people to do is know yourself. And if you can step into that every day, you're going to be, you know, the best version of yourself and you're going to be confident. I'll end with this thought. I remember early in my career, when I first started working with dentists, you know, Laura and I didn't have two pennies to scrape together. You just kind of have to fake it till you make it. I'm so grateful to some of those dentists who we talked to and they're like, all right, there's something here. But I remember I talked to dentists and I'd try to sell them. I'd you know, listen to them and okay, what do I think they want me to say? And that's a recipe for disaster. You know, I sold a few dentists early on that I should have walked away from. They were not aligned with what we were about. And today, if I talk to a dentist, it doesn't matter to me if they say yes or no. We've got a successful business. We're happy. I love what I do. I'm going to tell you what I think you need based on what you're telling me, and you can like it or you can not like it. And I think so many dentists that have experience in case presentation probably hear me say that and say, yeah, exactly. I'm not here to worry about your pocketbook. I'm not here to make you feel better about, you know, a lesser treatment. I'm here to hear what you want and build a plan to get you there. And it's up to you to decide if you want to take that step.
I liked what you said a minute ago about people that are niching up. That's really good business. And in particular, like you said, they need to know themselves. They need to know what they want. And knowing themselves and knowing what they want, then it's easier for you to develop a marketing program around that. But the more specific you are, like you mentioned, you can use that really to your advantage. And this is where I think a lot of the people that are looking at niching up, the fear factor of, what do I tell my patients? What do I tell my existing practice? And where do I go with this? And that was very helpful. What you said is that, you know, being more specific, you're helping answer the question that you said they may be asking is, are you really good at all those things? Well, I'm really good at this. So it's easier for them to market that and sell that, isn't it?
It is. And I think, you know, when we work with clients, one of the things we insist on is finding a differentiator. And what we're talking about right now is one possible differentiator, right? It's a clinical differentiator. And let's be honest, in dentistry, there are some practices that do a great job of doing it all. So I think the takeaway today is not you have to niche clinically. It's that if that's what you're passionate about, you can, and it's great, and you can go far with that. But you can also take a step back and say, what else can I differentiate on? What is my other niche? And I'll make an absurd point to kind of show how this works. Our first client ever, I remember going and going to a photo video shoot in his office, and we sat down and we interviewed patients, and I listened to them all day long, and I heard what they had to say about him. And then it was his turn to talk, and you know, he's heard me talk many times before. And I said, all right, you know, Dr. Major, what makes you different? And he started talking about technology and all we got is, you know, Sarek Mill and all this different stuff. And I paused him. I was like, you know, honestly, like the practice down the street has a Sarek Mill too, you know, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. But you know what I heard today from the patients? Every single one of them said they love coming here because when they walk in the office, it smells like fresh baked cookies and they get a cookie on the way out. Now, that's got to be a little humbling as a dentist, right? Because you're like, wait a second, I do all this continuing education. Yep. I got this great technology. That's what makes me better. And these patients are like, it just smells good. And I like getting a cookie. And if you think about it, that's actually totally okay to niche on. I'll end here. I'm a Midwest guy at heart, and I don't know anyone from the Midwest might remember there was an airline called Midwest Express. Now, my family and I loved flying that as a kid. Why? Because you got fresh baked cookies on the plane. That was like the big treat at the end. The whole plane started to smell like cookies. You got your cookie coming out. And are they an airplane company or are they an experience company? And I think dentistry is no different. So don't be afraid of finding the difference that the patients see as opposed to forcing the one you want.
Yeah. Michael, on that airline, I always asked for two cookies.
You know, there's always that guy, right?
There's always that guy. I was you know, those cookies, they were soft, warm.
They were great.
And they just melted in your mouth. And as simple as that seemed, for my wife and I, we always looked at that airline first.
Yeah.
To where, when we were flying. And we were so disappointed when, you know, it wasn't anymore.
Yeah.
Just for the simple fact of cookies. Isn't that a deal?
We are simple creatures at heart.
Aren't we, though? And we make our decisions on simple things.
Yep.
And you're right. You know, it's the unreasonable dental experience. Well, the unreasonable dental experience is putting intangibles over tangibles. Intangibles will drive tangibles every day. And so my experience with my practice when I niched up to lifestyle dental practice and doing a lot of cosmetic work and restorative dentistry and that type of thing was that when I really learned, I made the decision and I just did it. I didn't spend months and a year debating about it and whatever. I just thought, one day I thought, you know, I put in a cosmetic case and I said, I love this. Like you said, the expression on the patient's face, I remember it today. And that was back in 1988 when I first made my decision. I can remember her sitting up, me handing the mirror to her. It overwhelmed me. Thought, this is awesome. This is the feeling I want to feel. This is the feeling I want my patients to feel. How can I replicate this? And so I made the decision. Then we figured out exactly how to make it happen. Instead of the other way, trying to figure out everything at first, because that'll take months, sometimes up to a year, and you will have lost your own energy. You may have got sidetracked, and I just wanted to let that happen. So then I figured it out, and it was a great, great journey. People will look at the intangibles and make their decisions with the intangible emotional component almost every time. And that's when my practice became so much fun and so much easier, when I learned the art of listening.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so easy for a business to steer you as an owner, as opposed to you steering the business. And especially for our dentists, so many of them didn't, you know, make that choice to get into dentistry to also say, and I want to be a business owner. And so, you know, the best encouragement I have for anyone that's resonating with this and saying, man, I feel a little stuck, you know, annual planning is a real thing. And we're just wrapping it up. I know it's February for our business, but taking that concerted time, even taking time away from the chair, right, which sounds a little scary. Wait, I'm actually going to make less money. And really just having presence to say, what am I trying to accomplish here? What are my goals? I love this concept of zero-sum budgeting, right? If you think about it, oftentimes when we budget, what do? We look at last year's budget and say, okay, what should I change? Rarely do we wipe it off and say, what do I need? It's a very different exercise. And I think that, you know, that's true in cost management, but it's true in everything, you know, and I'm actually finishing this up for myself right now with my schedule. I'm like, my calendar controls me. I'm stuck. I can't get away from the meetings that I've been going to for years, and I don't even know how I got here. So I'm zero-sum budgeting it. I'm just, what do I actually need to do? And it feels amazing. So I love that you had that moment of like, I'm doing all this clinical stuff. I'm like, do I like it? Is this what I want to do? I don't know. And then clarity, you know, and it can smack you in the face, and you could be like, you know, I didn't know this was going to happen, or you can create time for it. But either way, there needs to be a pause to recognize, what do I really want here?
Yeah. And you know, those moments of clarity, Michael, as you mentioned just a second ago, they can come out of nowhere, just a spontaneous little moment. And that's what it was with me. I put that case in, and quite honestly, I did not know what I was doing, but it turned out beautiful. And that patient, her expression said, John, you must do this. It's like, wow, what just happened here? And I'll share with you, the day that I came in, I closed my doors on Thursday at 1 o'clock. That's the end of our week. And I closed my door and I spontaneously said to myself, John, your practice is done, your general practice. Now you're going to come in Monday morning and you're going to be a cosmetic dental practice. And I walked in and I announced to the staff. They had no idea we were doing this. And the interesting thing about that day, Michael, was how I started looking at patients totally different. I looked at probability versus disease. I looked at, what is the potential for this patient? What is the potential for their smile? What can we do for them that can help enrich their lives for greater fulfillment? Wow. At the end of the day, I went home and I thought, what just happened? It was awesome. And I knew I was on the right track. And there was no turning back. Sometimes you have to just trust that moment. You have to trust it. Don't question it. Trust it and go with it. One thing that I want to talk about, and we've already alluded to a little bit of it here, Michael, is your virtual consult. Talk about that program, how it came about, where it's at. I love the concept. As I mentioned earlier, I looked into it in the mid-teens. I was so curious and so wanted to do it, but the buy-in at that point was really pretty costly. Talk to me about your program.
Yeah. You know, it really starts, like you just said, with us listening to our dentists. You know, we around that same time had dentists that kind of separately, it's almost like, you know, this whole wave hit dentistry, and a couple dentists here and there were like, hey, what about, you know, could we connect virtually? How would that work? And we had a couple dentists reach out in different ways and say, well, you know, how could a patient send me photos and how could I respond? And what we quickly realized is if you ask 10 dentists to respond to a patient with a video, they'd all do it a different way. One would do it on Instagram, one would record it on their phone and text it, one would upload it to YouTube, and one would put it on Google Drive. And none of them were probably HIPAA compliant. So what we set out to do is to create a workflow that actually worked for dentistry. And, you know, I want to back up and say virtual consults, even today, I think there's a lot of ambiguity. What does it mean? Someone listening to this is probably like, oh, I don't have time to, you know, schedule a meeting and talk back and forth. And we would call that a peer-to-peer or a live virtual consultation where you get to talk to someone in real time. While our platform does support that, what our core focus is asynchronous virtual consultation, which means that a patient can reach out to you on their timeline and you can respond back on your timeline. Why are we even doing this? What's the goal? What's so magical and powerful about this? You know, all the things we've talked about today have an implication, right? Why should we be authentic? Why should we get rid of stock imagery? Why should we do all these things? Why social proof? Well, because at the end of the day, there is a natural distrust, a wall, a barrier that most patients have to coming into the dentist. And there's all these objections, right? It's too expensive. I don't really know what I need, a lack of education. My big one is I don't have the time. I'm busy. You know, I'm busy till 6 o'clock at night and then the office is closed and it's not on my time frame. You know, pain, fear, poor experience, all these things can keep people back from understanding their best options. And so the goal of virtual consults is to lower that barrier and meet the patient where they're at. I almost like using this term of virtual house call. You don't need to come to me, I'll come to you. And in a culture where Netflix and Uber and Amazon have just permeated our society with convenience, I understand that the medical community likely doesn't want to bow the knee to that and say, hey, listen, we're separate, we're over here. That's not us. But the reality is our society has shifted forever and convenience is king. And so this is one step for dentistry to take to say, listen, I want to be part of that. I want to participate. And so how does it work? Well, any dentist can use this program and they can add it to their social media or their website or really any marketing they do. And I'm going to speak about the website because it's probably the easiest to understand. We can add a widget that actually has a little video of you like waving, saying, hey, I'm here. If you want to connect with me, they can click on that and answer a few questions, submit photos, and then you're able to respond. Conversely, you could put a button on a website, a QR code on a mailer, a link on social media. There's so many ways for people to find you and say, okay, this is something that I'm interested in. I'll take a minute. It's 9 o'clock at night. Let me answer a few questions and send a photo. On the flip side, as a dentist, you have your own platform, your own portal that you get an alert. It says, hey, you got a new lead. Someone's interested in connecting with you. And you can go in there and use our step-by-step process to go through a response. And that includes, and this is where I think people get overwhelmed. They say, oh my gosh, I don't have time for that. Well, we've got a library of written sort of summaries of treatment. Hey, you're interested in Invisalign. You're interested in, you know, implants. You're interested in All-on-X. So you can just select, say, okay, share this information, share the All-on-X information next. And then you can use social proof. Let's upload or select photos from a before and after gallery. Amazing. You can actually say, you're interested in All-on-X. Let me show you some people I've worked with. And here's the results. It's amazing. And then the big moment is when you get to, in the platform, record a video for the prospective patient and speak to them directly. The ultimate way to break down barriers and say, hey, here I am. I'm not scary. In fact, I'm speaking directly to you. And is this a clinical consultation? Are we going to diagnose them? Absolutely not. What we're going to do is we're going to speak generally. Say, hey, from what I can see, you're interested in All-on-X. You've talked about missing some teeth. You've talked about pain. I need to do an X-ray. I need to do a CT scan here, but here's how our process works. Here's my credentials. Oh, that's my kid that just ran in the background there, but I'd like to invite you in for a complimentary consultation. That's so different than what they've had, calling front desks. Hey, can I get a quote? Sorry, we won't do that. Calling someone else, nobody picks up. Now the dentist is responding back to you. Amazing. So I'll wrap it up and say these last two things. For the people that listen to this and say, I get it, I like it, but I'm not good at video, we literally have a built-in teleprompter that you can click the record button and you can just read what's there. If you don't like what's there, you can edit it. You can make it your own. This all gets wrapped up and it gets texted and emailed to a patient So they have this amazing experience. They're like, wow, this doctor, this dentist reached out to me personally. You know what? I'll take that jump. Now, if this sounded like a lot of work to anyone, they said, I love it. I just don't know if I have the time. We also have a feature that's amazing where you can trigger an auto response. That means that you record a message one time. You're interested in clear aligners. Let me just speak about the process. Let me introduce myself generally. And then you can say, if I don't get a chance to respond within 24 hours, within 5 days, send this automated response out. So you can either make it work automatically for you, or you can respond powerfully and personally. It's entirely up to you.
It really sounds like a simple process, Michael, to be honest. The simpler that we make things for our patients to access us and really get to see, hear, and experience you as an individual. You talked about authenticity. To see that authentic dentist on the other side and know, gosh, they are really, they're human. And this is kind of an awesome deal here. I like what you called it, you know, the virtual house call. I've never heard it referred to as that. That makes it, that's a very soothing phrase with this. The other thing that I like about this is that it's bringing to light a little bit of vulnerability on the doctor's side to the doctor-patient relationship and letting the, you know, the patient kind of peel back the layers and see if they like what they see before they go in. And for a dentist, you know, I hear the I'm going to say excuse, if I don't have time for this. But, you know, the question comes about that. And, you know, you probably in your own mind chuckle a little bit about that comment because it's like, okay, you can record a response in, what, two and a half minutes maybe? And if that two and a half minutes sells $5,000 or up to $50,000, do you think? It's one of those things that, you know, I talk, Michael, about slow down to speed up. Slow down long enough to just communicate with the patient, understand who they are, let them be involved with you in developing the treatment plan. Then they own it. You give them a fee. They may have to think about it. They may not. But if they don't do it then, you're the guy that they're going to call when they're ready. Isn't that worth 2 to 5 minutes?
Yeah, we have had that. And I... my reaction is very aligned in that, you know, for me, it's clarifying. What I hear is, you know, when we first talked, I heard you say that you had this aha moment. You want to do more of this type of case. I want to do more aligners. I want to do more all on X. I want to do more airway health, whatever that is for you.
Yeah.
And then when you're given an opportunity and you know, you're asked to stand up out of a chair and walk across the room, you say, that's too much for me. I don't want to do that. And I think for me, and that can be okay too. It's like, hey, you're clarifying for yourself that that's not what you really want. You know, you're not willing to put that extra effort in. And I imagine, you know, going back to that moment when you stepped in and talked to your team and said, hey, we're a different practice today. You probably took more time in the chair after that and asked a few more questions. And
without question,
a different relationship. And someone might say, well, that's inefficient. I thought we had a good thing going here. Let's go. Come on. You know, and it took slowing down. I love what you're saying there to actually accelerate. And so I love the platform because it is so powerful in the way that it builds connections. Everybody recognizes that. It's really up to each individual team to decide if they want to have that type of relationship with a patient or not. And the ones that do, we've seen have profound success.
Well, you know, the pandemic did something to us. Is that what we're doing right now? You know, we're recording on a platform and, you know, the Zoom and how it just boomed during that pandemic. We're in the digital world now, and we're not going backwards. It's only going to accelerate going forward. I was a little intimidated and annoyed by A1 a little over a year ago when I really started understanding and realizing, okay, this is something to deal with. But I thought, doggone, man, that's going to invade my privacy and yada, yada, yada. But I had to study it a little bit and learn about it to overcome those fears. And now embracing it and going, okay, how can I utilize this for my podcast business? And like with you, with your business, I know A1 is a big component of it. virtual consult is something that can be so easy. Busyness, patients get to communicate with you at a time frame in their lives that it's easy. And then you also get to respond back at a point in time where you're not quite so rushed. And maybe you make 30 minutes at the end of the day, and that's how you unwind. You record a response to these people. Just slow down, take a deep breath, and speak with them. I love it.
Yeah.
I love this thing.
We are at a tipping point. I think, you know, my generation, I was born in 1985. We're a fascinating one because I was born in a time before personal computing was really mainstream. I remember my dad getting our first computer when I was maybe 5 or 7 years old. And so we've straddled sort of, you know, pre-light bulb and post-light bulb, pre-electricity, post-electricity.
Right.
I mean, and you know, in my lifetime, going from personal computing to the internet to the iPhone to AI and again today to spatial computing, we are literally, you know, like this is the day, like this week is the first week of spatial computing. And I think business is going to change profoundly. I often ask myself, I love the technology, I'm so interested in these things, and I think I hate the society it's going to create. And I struggle with that, right? Because I'm, on one hand, I would argue every day it's the best time ever to be alive. There's so much opportunity. There's so much convenience. There's like, think about this. We have this phone in our pocket, and anyone's iPhone has the ability to have an app on it that can do voice translation. I can go to Japan. I can let someone speak into it. It will translate to me. I can talk back. Mind blowing. I mean, that would have shook the world at one point. And this is an app that most people probably don't even think about or use. That's how spoiled we are today. And so Dentistry is going to be confronted with significant changes. I look at the front desk and how AI is probably going to significantly impact appointment setting and insurance verification and literally call answering. I mean, if it's not 5 years from now, it's most certainly 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And I look at technology like Pearl AI. If you haven't talked to those guys, that should be your next podcast. Amazing technology where you can take all of your, you know, scans and x-rays and you can upload them and it will identify their missed opportunities for caries. And then moving forward, you can use that as an AI layer to show to patients and say, listen, it's not just my opinion. You think I'm some huckster trying to tell you that there's 10 extra cat? No, AI agrees with me here. And in fact, you're not going to say it caught one I didn't see, but that's, and I think that's confronting for dentists too. They're like, I don't want that. I got this, you know, and sure, is there a nuance to biomimetic tooth health over years? I'm not saying AI is replacing a dentist's intuition and observation, but it's certainly an amazing augmentation.
It is. It has so much to offer. And it's going to be amazing over the next couple of years how it changes the face of dentistry. At times I miss my dentistry. I miss the shiny penny things that, you know, it throws at you every day. But then, Michael, it always came back down to me, the simplest things that drove the practice, the intangibles, and it's when we learn how to communicate. And we can never overcome that. And I think this is what the virtual consult allows the dentist to do. You know, so many people today, I hear it all the time, is we don't know how to relate and communicate effectively with people anymore. And, you know, what the digital world has done that to it, it's kind of crippled us to a degree, and particularly the younger generation, you know, up through 25, 28 to 30s, you know, they've grown up with the devices. And this has been their form of communication, and they really don't know how to have those deep, meaningful communication aspects with each other. And so learning how to do that, that's what this virtual consult allows them to do, is to communicate, and the patient go, wow, this is a real guy. This is a real person. This is a real woman here, and this is awesome. And that's super, super differentiation.
And it also meets these patients where they're at. I mean, I don't think societally we're going to shift, you know, how people have changed in their desire to communicate. I'm, again, 1985, I'm on that tipping point. You know, I would prefer a phone call every day of the week. And you know, we've got 60 people on our team in San Diego. Most of them are under the age of 30. And, you know, I think I'm probably the one phone call they get outside of their mom when I call them. They're like, what is this old guy doing? And, you know, they just try to text them. And that's just not how I work. So, you know, for me, I would love to convince all them to you know, pick up the phone and call. And I recognize that that's not the way the world is going. And so for our dentists that are listening, you know, whether or not you agree is besides the point. The patient population you serve is changing how they want to communicate. And we're shifting towards just text me, you know, just send it in a text message. So you start to think about case presentation and follow-up. How do you think they want to be followed up with? Just text me, you know, and what do you want to put in there? Probably a video of somebody who's had a great experience, probably before and after photos, probably a personal message from you, maybe again, a video. That's what's going to differentiate you, not continuing to do what you've done for the last 10 years.
You know, what's interesting, Michael, about 6 years ago, I live here in Kansas City, and down at the University of Kansas City campus, they have a business school. And I got to go down and lecture to the second semester seniors in a business class. And now, professor said, now, John, I don't want you to think that these are disrespectful kids, because they're not. They're serious, and a good majority of them are going into a master's program. But they're going to be sitting in front, and they're going to have their computer open, and they're going to have their cell phone right next to their computer. But they're paying attention to you also. Don't think that they are not. Don't get frustrated with them. Because if he hadn't told me that, I would have. I'd have said, okay, time out. Close your computers. Put your phones in your purses or wherever. He said, no, they're listening to you. So I continued speaking, and I really enjoyed it. But at one point, I just out of curiosity, I said, okay, I see all the computers. I see the cell phones. What with you as a group, and you know, these are probably, what, 22-year-olds, said, what is your favorite way of communicating that just lights you up when it happens? And it shocked me. A card in the mail. Powerful. A card in the mail. I couldn't believe it. And what was interesting with that is that I always used a simple card. It was probably a little bit, it was maybe a 4x5. And I just, you know, wrote very simple messages to my patients. I'd send out about 4 or 5 a day. I'd always send a new patient one and just tell them, thank you for coming by, enjoyed meeting them, look forward to working with them, have a great day. Something like that, just short and simple. And, you know, these young kids, they verified what I'd always thought, simplicity and in connection. And again, that's what your virtual consult does, is offers a great, great modality of simplification and communication and enriching the process. Love it.
Slow down to speed up.
You bet. Slow down to speed up. Michael, as we come to a close here, is there anything in particular that last tricks, gleaming thoughts that you'd like to share with the audience about your virtual consult?
You know, I think that everything requires a process and everything requires ownership. And so for me, you know, there's this quote that I'm going to butcher, but I love, and it goes something like this. Nobody cares about technology. They care about the experience that you provide them, right? We don't go into a store and say, tell me about the cash register you have. Oh, that's really cool technology. I just want to know that I get checked out quickly. And I think that's important with software like your virtual consult. The technology will not change your business. It's how you use it and the experience you provide with it. And so that means that, you know, if you take a step forward with your virtual consult or Pearl AI or, you know, insert other software, you need to know who's owning this, whose job is it, and what is your process to doing it. And I think that more often than not, that's where I see people fail, is they love the idea, but they don't have a way to actually use it. But, you know, it did occur to me that I have a unique opportunity. I'd like to propose that I get to ask the last question of the podcast here. You're in Kansas City. We are recording this days before the Super Bowl. And I'm wondering if you want to finish up here with a bold Super Bowl prediction that will be recorded forever, and we can come back and review and see how accurate it is.
Michael, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. The Chiefs right now are playing very good football. They had a humiliating loss to the Las Vegas Raiders on Christmas Day on our own field. I mean, the Raiders came in and owned us. And they, in the locker room, they had to come to Jesus time. And at that point, that was the absolute best thing that could have happened to them at that point, because they flipped a switch and they started playing football. They got into the playoffs and they were a totally different team. I wouldn't want to play the Chiefs right now. Their defense is just locked down, and Patrick is playing loose again. The wide receivers are catching the ball, and our run offense is there. I'm going to say 31-20, the Chiefs. I think they're on a mission. The Chiefs realize that they are kind of like what the Patriots got to, that kind of everybody is against them and don't like them. And they say, that's okay. We're all right. You know, we're good people. We love to play the game. But we're going to come out and we're going to beat you. And that's the way they look at it right now. So I'm going with 31-20. Thank you, Michael, for spending your time with us today. I really like the information and the explanation on your virtual consult. I wanted to get a good idea with that. I'm going to, in the show notes, supply the audience on how to connect with you best. And so if you can send that to me in an email, I will link that on the show notes. It's been a real pleasure visiting with you today and getting to know you. And I hope every one of them makes connection with you on your virtual consult.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for having me.
You bet. That's our show for today, the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John, and our guest has been Michael Anderson.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.